T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's a Pro Football Focus Tuesday. We'll talk to Sam Monson at 9 o'clock and see where Dwayne Haskins and the rest of the Washington football team rank in the PFF rankings. But joining us right now, columnist for TheFanDC.com, our pal Rick Snyder.
Rick.
Who apparently wants to defend Ron Rivera not using timeouts. You're in the minority here. Tell us why Ron was correct.
Well, I had an early dinner reservation. I had to go, man. I don't want to waste time at the end of the game.
Hey, there is merit to early dinners, Rick. We all know this. We know this.
Yeah, you got to be. I got to be in bed by 8 because I got to be up walking the floors by midnight. So you know, it's one of those things now when you get old. Listen, Rivera. I tried to write about Rivera. I told him they should have gave him white flags instead of red flags, you know, because he just throw those out there. But good. He just decided, I don't want to beat my guys up at the end of the game and make them play a few meaningless snaps. And now I totally disagree with that part of it, because listen, you're down 2 scores with what, 2.5 left.
Well, it was like 4 or 5 minutes at one point.
It was closer to 5 minutes, Rick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you need to do everything you can to just show your team you believe in them. Because what you just said was, listen, you haven't done jack all day. You're not going to do it in the last couple of minutes. Let's go. I mean, I've seen the same argument since I was a young reporter in the 70s. I've seen people do this kind of thing. But it's a loser's mentality, and that's not what Rivera is about.
Yes, you know, I know. Totally, it makes totally no sense.
I mean, Rick, think about it. It's not like they're down 35-3. They're down 11. Okay, what if you stop the clock a few times, make them kick the field goal? What if they miss it? Now you're down 2 scores with, I don't know, 3 minutes and change left. You're probably going to lose the game 98% of the times you're going to lose, but at least you're giving yourself a chance.
And you're getting much-needed reps for these guys. It's a young team.
Well, I don't know if an extra 2 reps matter, but I agree.
It'd be more than 2. What are you talking about?
If you call time out, you're adding 2 more. Maybe. I mean, it is the right thing to do is to call this timeout. Absolutely, and I would. He's just afraid of injury somehow. I mean, like it's a preseason game. And I think it's the wrong thing to do because it sends the wrong message. And who knows, once in a blue moon, you might actually win something like that. But
exactly.
I think it's just him thinking – this offense can't do it. Now, there goes to your next question. And what are you going to do with Dwayne if your coach doesn't have the confidence to call timeout for him to play?
Right.
That's scary, too.
Yeah. Well, listen, look, we all can see Dwayne's struggles. But in his defense, they did score. How many touchdowns did they score? 3 touchdowns? I mean, they did score.
Three.
Yeah, they got in the end zone. Hopkins or whatever missed the extra point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they were leading 20-17, so it wasn't like they were getting skunked.
I mean, they're winning the game with 2 minutes
showing,
left in the third.
They were showing some propensity to get in the end zone.
Right. It was a very winnable game, especially when you're up at the end of the third quarter and you've blown a couple plays.
Yeah.
I thought Cleveland was a very winnable game. I think Arizona could have been a winnable game if they hadn't screwed it up. Could it be 3-0? I mean, come on, it'd be a straw 3-0. But, you know, the defense isn't quite as good as we expected. Now you got some dings on the line. The offense got some players, but they can't seem to pull it together yet. I did see some improved play calling by Scott Turner. I see Norv there so often. I think he's learning how to use these pieces better. But this quarterback has to be able to do a couple things, which is calm down and get your mechanics together. What's going on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with those mechanics? You know, he should be doing better. He's made some rookie mistakes out there, which he's not a rookie anymore. Mm. I'm not looking to run him out of town. There is no plan B here in my mind, not this season. And I don't want to throw away a first-round pick from last year again and go get another quarterback. Their big problem in the last 20 years under Dan Snyder has been to rarely ever be in sync with quarterbacks and coaches. And since 93, they've had 8 coaching changes and 5 first-round picks go to quarterback. The only time they ever really were in sync was Norv, and he took Heath. So that one didn't go well.
I actually wanted to bring up Heath, Rick, because to me, this feels like the same movie with Heath Shuler and the same arguments we were having then where Heath Shuler was drafted in the first round. You pretty much knew he didn't have it quickly, but people gave the argument, well, he doesn't have enough starts. He doesn't have enough help. It feels like the same movie.
Well, Heath is still looking for his linebackers out there. So, you know, a little bit of like that. I mean, you have to take a shot for a while, if nothing else. I mean, the only other time a coach has picked a quarterback per se was Ramsey and Spurrier. But Spurrier said, you can pick them, but I ain't playing them. And that's exactly what happened. So, you know, now you've got Rivera, just like, say, Jay Gruden, that says, I ain't picked this guy. I'm not owed to him. So that's a scary thing. And that's why you keep having to take steps back with quarterbacks. And these are on Dan Snyder. These are his fault, well, a bunch of these times. And anytime you bust on a first-round quarterback, you set your team back 2-3 years. And, you know, if you have to start over again next year, you're reset again next year.
Yep.
So I think Haskins is playing for his job. There's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
keep throwing 3 picks, you ain't going to be here.
Right. That's why this whole idea that the idea, you know, on paper, it's just, this is the year to find out if Dwayne can play. You give him 16 games. You don't get the opportunity in this league to play 16 terrible games. That does not happen. And listen, Rick, you've covered this team longer than anybody in this town. We do these quarterback controversies all the time. When a coach starts saying, oh, yeah, there's a limit. I can only take so much. It's almost fait accompli. There's going to be a quarterback switch. Like, I would bet my life on it that there's going to be a quarterback switch now.
The question is when.
It's just a matter of when now. He's already opened the door and acknowledged, oh, yeah, you know, there is a limit to how much I can take.
By the way, you're going to get the same stuff with the next quarterback, unless it's Alex, right. Which I don't think it's going to be. I don't think Alex is healthy
you
enough.
You might get worse. You may get worse.
Yeah. So just be prepared for that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know enough about Allen, but I'm just saying they're going to move. They're going to make a move. I bet my life on it.
Well, if you get a few more losses, then you suddenly start to panic a little more.
Well, they're going to get smoked this week.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to get smoked.
Yeah, I didn't think Baltimore looked that bad last night, but, man, Kansas City took them apart.
Yeah.
But the Redskins, Washington isn't going to be able to do that.
Yeah,
it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a long year again, but they're not going to be in position to draft Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I'd love to have Trevor Lawrence here. That'd be kind of like covering Joe Namath or something. Mm. That'd be fun. But they're not going to get that high a pick. There's like 5 really bad teams in the league.
Right.
So they might be picking 6 to 12 and looking for a left tackle or a safety or something. This isn't an easy decision. If Dwayne doesn't work out, it really hurts this team for a couple years again.
We're joined by Rick Snyder, columnist for TheFanDC.com. You know, looking at the wide receiver stats, I completely understand targeting Terry McLaurin 25 times, and this guy's not a wideout. He's a tight end. Logan Thomas has been targeted 24 times. He's only brought in 12 receptions so far. I was the conductor on the Logan Thomas hype train heading into the season, but he's not doing a lot with all the targets he's getting peppered with through 3 games.
Yeah, he doesn't have the best of hands. He's still learning the position. But in this kind of offense, which Norv did, Norv turned Jamie Asher into a threat. I mean, you know, Steven Alexander, this tight ends get a lot of balls in this kind of offense. Probably because there isn't a lot of other choices. You can't throw to Terry every time. I will say Terry's impressed me even more this year with his after-catch speed going through things. He's been terrific on there. But then what else do you have? So he's going to keep throwing his bailouts to Logan, but he throws them too high, or that's the mechanics again. I just think it's going to be a struggle. That's what Rivera – I give Rivera credit for admitting all this. You know, he's like, ooh, it's going to be tough this year. I mean, who says that? Nobody says that.
Well, here's the other thing, Rick, and we talked about this. The division is horrific, okay? They're 2-9-1 combined. They're the only division in football where all 4 teams are in the negative in point differential, okay? Just by comparison, all 4 teams in the West, NFC West, all in the positive in that. So, I mean, it's a bad division. The Giants are probably going to win 3 games. The Eagles maybe 4. Okay, I don't know where they're going to get the four with that line, but maybe four. And Wentz is digressing. The Cowboys, okay, now they played a tougher schedule. They've already played the Rams and Seattle, okay? So they've played a much tougher schedule. They're probably going to win the division. But maybe Rivera and the coaching staff are going, you know what? We got a shot. I don't think they do, but maybe they say, you know, if we can beat the Giants a couple times. We've already beaten Philly. I don't know. Maybe that's why they're getting desperate and they want to make that change. I don't know when they would do it, but the division is so bad, they may be delusional and think they can win it.
Well, if Alex Smith had played against Cleveland, Washington would have won that game. It was a perfect Alex Smith game. I just don't know if Alex is ready for this. And, you know, but if you're on the roster, you're supposed to be ready. Yeah. I don't know. We all just know what could happen there. You know, but I think, yeah, if you're around 500, let's say at the trade deadline, end of October, do you go find a receiver? Do you try and make a move here? I mean, listen, if you can win the division 8-8, go for it. But I think Cowboys, you know, are going to end up taking a division. They'll probably win 9 games or something.
Right, right.
Yeah, but they're not going to run away with it and go 13-3
no.
is the point.
No, that's not happening.
So there's probably not going to be that much of a spread during the season until later on, and that might be after they have removed Dwayne Haskins from the starting position.
Yeah, I mean, the worst team in the NFC West would go 12-4 in the East. I mean, this is a bad group altogether.
Oh,
I mean,
100%.
Go ahead.
Lost in the Haskins drama a little bit is the fact that with the loss to the Browns, the Washington football team are under 500 for the first time in 45 years. If somebody came up to you in the 80s during the glory years and said the Redskins/football team are going to be a losing franchise, you would have thought that was a crazy person talking to you. But here we are.
Oh, you mean combined wins?
Yes.
Total record?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're a game under now. Yeah, I wouldn't have. You know, the 80s were magic, man. I was covering some of those teams, and life was good. I didn't realize how I could flip the script, you know, for 30 years. You know, maybe I can retire soon and they'll start winning. You know, it's one of those things. But, yeah, it's been grim, and Dan Snyder's a lot of the reason. I mean, like I said, he's had 8 different coaches. So, you look for common threads. He's had 2 awful GMs that you could get. You know, the drafts have been poor overall. The free agency's been a shambles. You know, I thought it was real interesting that story that came out that Snyder didn't pay dividends to his 3 partners. Mm-hmm. And then maybe that's why they didn't go free agent shopping like we were wondering. Hmm. Yeah,
Rick,
maybe the cash is tight.
Rick, real quick, I know you want to make a Preakness pick, so we'll get that. But you also just started a podcast, right?
Right, The Angel Among Us, which is at wherever you get podcasts. There's a book I wrote that I changed into an old-time radio show. Had all my friends read the parts. It's a 9-part series. I did my own Netflix thing.
Nice.
And so it's about an angel who protects a Southern Maryland family over 3 generations. I know you guys accuse me of writing fiction all the time, so, you know, I just thought I'd do it for real for once.
Very good.
I mean, the idea came to me while I was driving to a Redskin game, believe it or not. I was driving in the car. It just hit me. And I don't know where this came from, but I'm really proud of the series, The Angels Among Us. And I have a second one now coming out called The Voice. It'll be coming out pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Something different. You know, you can't just keep writing Redskins lost today, 13-10. I mean, yeah, you guys write something else in life.
Hey, that's what we're doing. We've been doing that for 20-plus years, right?
Well, I'm up to 42 now, so keep going.
You know? You got us. You got us beat, that's for sure.
And do you have a Preakness play for us?
Hey, hold on. Is the Preakness this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. It's completely slept. I slept on that and the French Open. I'm sleeping on all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, we're going with a 9-3-4 out there, boys, when you bet numbers. Authentic and Art Collector are basically the same horse. They're both going to go to the front. They're both awesome horses. This is the best Preakness field, I think, since 1997. There's about 6 or 7 horses could win this race. But wow. Authentic won the Derby. This is a little shorter race. All things being equal, he's trained by Bob Baffert, I think has 6 Preakness wins. So I'm going to go with Authentic over Art Collector. And a filly, Swiss Skydriver, has been terrific. I'm going to throw her in the triples. I mean, but this is going to be a really good race. It's only 2 minutes. You can watch it during a commercial, during your football game.
Hmm. What was the overwhelming favorite at the Derby, again, that lost?
Tis the Law, who did not come to this race.
Oh, he's not. Okay.
This is basically setting everybody up for the Breeders' Cup, and Tis has run a lot, so they decided to skip this and go to the Classic.
Why did Tis the Law bomb the last one?
Well, he finished 2nd.
Authentic was his wire to wire
horse.
Yeah.
Well, I thought everybody said he was by far the best horse, though.
He was.
We were wrong, weren't we? Authentic's a nice horse. Just Tis the Law had won several really good races in a row. And Authentic came out of nowhere just to say, catch me if you can. And that's what this Preakness is going to be. It's going to be a front-end fast race. Nobody's coming from behind to beat these horses. They're just going to whistle. It's just, Art Collector is inside Authentic. He's got a little bit of an advantage there, but I'm going to go with Baffert as the tiebreaker on this. It's going to be a terrific race.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, buddy.
All right,
so
guys.
The podcast is Angel Among Us.
Right, the Angel Among Us.
And you can check out his columns at thefandc.com.
Nice.
All right, boys.
All right,
Rick.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate
See
it.
See you, Ricky.
I
remember coming up.
So Ricky, by the way, kind of agreed with us.
Yeah, he didn't even actually defend the timeout.
Kind of did. I mean, read his column. It's like he's done an about face.
Okay, yeah. Well, he definitely agreed with us here. I mean, he didn't debate it, really.
Yeah.
That's a great point, Jason.
I don't know what Rick Snyder we just talked to.
Maybe his wife wrote the column. Who knows? Right.
I remember coming up 8 o'clock, we've got Mike Jones, who talks some NFL, the columnist for USA Today, and it is a Pro Football Focus Tuesday. Sam Monson is going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock here on The Fan.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz coming up at 7:45. Week 3 of the JPPP.
Oh, Lurch right.
wanted to do I a quick
predict.
Shout out.
I got to predict your JPPP. Mm-hmm. You know one of the worst things to do, Cakes, you would agree, one of the worst things to do yourself around the house is mulch yourself. Mulch the house yourself.
I've done it before.
Well,
it sucks.
I would never do that.
It's terrible.
I did it about 6-7 years ago, and I told myself I'll never do it again. It's so hard and time-consuming. Anyway,
yes.
So I want to thank my man Andy McVain at Merrifield Garden Center for setting up some mulch today. The
Very
boys
good.
Are coming out to mulch the house, and it's going to be dark mulch, and it's going to make the house pop. And it's going to look good.
You're doing that fall mulching.
And I'm just glad I don't have to do it myself.
Well, we did some mulching. That's the way to do it. And I just noticed yesterday, so we did some mulching probably 2 months ago, whatever it was.
You did it or you had someone do it?
No, I wouldn't even know what to do.
Okay.
But we had it done, and then I already looked at it. It's already like there's weeds growing through it and stuff. It only looks silly for a little bit,
it looks
at least
good
in my
for
house.
Like a week.
Well, you
got to
maintain it. You got to maintain
what
it.
What am I going to do, out there and pick the weeds?
Yeah. I know it sucks, but you got to do it.
I would never do that. I mean,
well, then your house just looks like poo if you don't
I don't
pick
care
the weeds.
Enough. Yeah.
Right, you got to pick weeds.
You think now. I'm going to go out there and pick the weeds in my mulch? That would literally never happen.
Well,
it sucks.
You know what?
Too.
Make your kids
it
do it.
My kids.
Yeah, make them do it. Make them do something.
They barely put their dishes in the sink.
All right. Well, that's your fault. That's on you.
Yeah.
That's bad parenting.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
No, but I can't have weeds growing in my mulch.
Really? I do. I looked in my backyard. I was like, this thing, my mulch looked silly a couple weeks ago. Now it looks all hurting. Grass growing through it.
The
it's
worst
a big
thing
scam.
In the world.
The whole mulching thing's a scam.
Yeah, I agree with Cakes. It looks good for like a week. Can you spray something so that that doesn't happen?
Paint your bald spot?
Of course you can.
You can?
It's called weed killer.
No, but is that what people do? Like when they put their mulch down, and then do they spray stuff?
I don't know how good that
weed killer is. Because there's no way people get on their hands and knees and pick. Like my yard's small, but it would take months to pull.
You lay down. You lay down like this kind of tarp thing, and then you put the mulch on top of it.
That doesn't work either. Weeds are undefeated.
Don't grow through.
They will grow through that stupid mesh. The weeds always find a way. They're very determined.
Yeah. Well, they definitely didn't put any mesh down on in my place.
No, I think Valdez might be right. I think that mesh does help. I'm not saying it's 100%, but I think it definitely helps.
So
people
don't have it. Spray? They don't spray?
Who's they?
Like landscaper people.
Sure, you could spray, but the mesh is...
I mean, you could ask them to, but usually you spray the stuff that's in the yard or you spray the stuff that's on your deck or patio.
Why don't you put some poison in the mulch? Because who cares? It's the mulch. Mulch is not alive. Why don't you put something like to kill the weeds?
I don't know if they do that, but maybe they do. I don't know.
Poison mulch, maybe. You're honest.
Poison mulch. That's my Shark Tank invention. Yes.
Yeah. That'll be good for the critters in your yard.
Kill the critters. Who cares about the critters?
I think he cares about squirrels.
Who cares about the critters? Right.
By the way, I disagree. I don't think mulching is overrated. I think it looks better than what you had before.
Yeah, for a week.
No, it looks better. No, it lasts longer than a week.
Not that much longer. Cakes is right. I do it every year. It's a joke. I only do it once a year, though.
Well,
you got to
do
it a bunch of times.
I do it twice. I do it spring, fall.
Spring and fall. Yeah.
I do it at least once. Sometimes I take it upon myself, and when I'm spreading this stupid mulch, I'm like, why did I do this? This is dumb. Why didn't I hire somebody to do this physical labor?
My man Andy at Merrifield. He'll hook you up.
Nice. Right. Now, of course, it's Pro Football Focus Tuesday, and we're going to talk a lot of NFL throughout the show. We've been talking about Ron Rivera, Haskins, and all of that. I wanted to go back to Saturday. So Saturday I was in New York City. I didn't watch college football. But the number one thing which popped to me was what Mike Leach's team did.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then it harkened me back to Maryland could have had this guy.
That's right.
Instead, they hired Randy Edsall. He was very nice
Randy's
to us.
A good guy.
Very nice to us. But, man, if you could have had that air raid offense in College
Park,
Mississippi
State,
it would have looked nice.
Jason, I don't know what the line was. What was the line? LSU had to have been favored, right?
Yeah, they were favored.
Probably pretty significantly.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as you thought. I can't remember what the closing line was, maybe a couple touchdowns. But here's the thing about LSU, and a lot of these teams were just overrated. They were just overrated based on name because LSU, Georgia, and Oklahoma all have quarterback situations, all right? They have inexperienced quarterbacks, and they were all rated very high. Now, Rattler played well in week one, but they didn't play anybody. He threw three picks in that second game. But Brennan's good, but it took him a while to kind of get going. But Mississippi State has athletes. So when Leach was at Washington State, he was always throwing the ball 70 times a game, but he didn't have SEC athletes.
Right.
And I was surprised that this Costello kid played as well as he did. I mean, threw for 640.
623 yards and 5 touchdowns in the opener. It was eye-popping to me. You know, as we were walking around the city, my son's a huge college football fan, so when we had a chance, we would kind of check the scores, and he was like, hey, LSU's about to go down. I was like,
yeah, but
really?
You've got to remember, you know how many players LSU lost?
I understand that.
So many guys went to the pros.
And their best defensive player, Stingley, was out because he was sick. So they just lost a lot. They're just overrated right now, and that's typical.
That's fine. They were national champions. They lost all those players. By the way, yesterday – the pronunciation on TV on the Monday Night Football game, he kept saying Elair.
Yeah, I kept hearing that too.
Elair, like Eclair. But anyway.
So silent H.
Yeah, so they lost him. They lost Burrow. I understand that. They lost all those guys. Mm-hmm. The greater point is Mike Leach's team. I mean, I understand that's been his reputation for years, but now he's in the SEC knocking off LSU in the first game, and his quarterback throws for 623 yards. It's pretty amazing.
No, but remember, when Maryland was having their dalliance with him, it wasn't – there was no question really about his coaching or his resume. The question was the off-the-field stuff, that he's a wild card. You heard rumors like, you know, he was damn near like a swinger or something. I mean, you know, you heard all this outrageous stuff about him, and Maryland didn't think they could control him.
Right.
Which I'm sure they couldn't.
Well, they didn't care. They didn't care in Starkville.
Who cares if you can control him if the guy puts up 40 or 50 points a week?
Eric, I think the story was something to do with hazing. Remember?
Yeah, remember
like
the player he had?
The player's in like a shed or something that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, but there was also stuff off the field about Leach, too. I'm telling you.
Well, I don't have a vested interest in any team in the SEC, but I'm kind of pulling for him to be like the guy that knocks off Alabama and LSU
and knocks off all these
powerhouses.
Mississippi State is now another team the drab T-shirt will root for, along with like Notre Dame and all the Pac-12
teams. Well,
let's
see what happens.
He has Pac-12 ties with Leach.
It's one game. It's one game. Let's see what happens.
No, but I think JB's right. I think he'll have the occasional upset. He could be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He could be like a Spurrier type, you know. Yep.
And you know what? Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss is going to do the same thing. They're going to want to throw the ball. I mean, Ole Miss literally wanted to run a play every 8 seconds.
I mean, that Florida-Ole Miss game was such an over.
They played so fast. Now, Florida's just better, and Florida's offense is much better. But those are two teams, Ole Miss and Mississippi State. They hired those guys for a reason because they want to outscore those other teams. And Mississippi State was very impressive. The game that I thought was unbelievable, if you're Matt Wells, the head coach of Texas Tech, that loss to Texas is going to haunt you for years.
I was listening to it on the radio. That went into overtime. I mean, how many yards did those two teams put up?
Oh, just a boatload. But here's the deal. I mean, Texas Tech is up 15 with 3 minutes to play. All right. What are the percentages of losing a game up 15 with 3 minutes to play? And then here's the problem. He kicks off. They had just scored. He kicks off and he kicks short to Texas. Mm-hmm. So instead of kicking in the end zone or, you know, kicking it to the 10 and having a guy return it, he kicks short. So they get the ball to 40. Texas scores literally in four plays. All right. In 30 seconds, they score. They get the onside kick, a miraculous onside kick. They score again, get the two-point conversion. They go to OT. They give up a 15-point lead.
I think I saw on Twitter that Texas Tech, at that point that you're talking about, had like a 99.8% win probability.
Yeah. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Basically guaranteed to win the game.
Yeah,
63-56 final, though.
It was a great game to watch, but, man, if you are a Texas Tech fan or if you're Matt Wells, that's going to haunt you because you can't lose that game.
Yeah, so I was driving home, and I was listening. The game which jumped out at me, and I'm surprised you didn't mention it. It wasn't a great game. It just made me think. So Miami just crushed Florida State. It made me think, what went wrong with Florida State? It wasn't that long ago. It wasn't like 20 years ago where they won a national championship, okay? Now, yeah. It was with Jameis Winston, and I understand he's been in the league for a while. But what went wrong with Florida State that they are that bad now?
Well, they don't have a quarterback, and they haven't had a quarterback in a while, and their offensive line is just awful. I don't know, man. It's like they haven't addressed it.
So Jimbo Fisher left, right? I'm just, like, rewinding. So he wins the national championship. He left. Did he leave because there was some sort of scandal maybe, and then they couldn't recruit people? Like, what happened to Florida State?
He got a big,
I understand
big deal.
That. But I think he was bouncing, too, because maybe the NCAA coming after him.
He didn't like the administration there. And I think he's from Texas. He wanted to go to Texas A&M. They brought in Willie Taggart, who's the worst coach in America.
Terrible.
So Taggart's the one that ruined the program.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're set so far back, they have a new coach now, and he's got a long ways to go.
And the new coach wasn't there because he's got COVID, right?
Correct.
He was not there for this game, but he's back, yeah.
Well, I just...
But they're just not in Miami's class. I mean, they don't have a quarterback. Their offensive line's bad. They just don't have... the overall players.
Did you see Tate Martell out for the year?
Man, you have a fascination with that dude.
I
love Tate Martell.
Well, I mean, I watched the dumb show, so I got wrapped up in that kid's career.
Well, he's one of the biggest flameouts in college football history.
It's true.
As far as recruiting goes.
It's true. He's got to transfer. What's he
doing? Hasn't he transferred 100 times?
He's got to transfer to like a 1A school or whatever it is.
You'll follow him there, too.
You know what he needs to do? He needs to give up on football and hit the books because he's not going to have a football career.
Oh, he's probably a terrible student. That guy's
sure
got ditch digging in his future. For
maybe
sure.
He can help
with
the mulch today.
He's got like, I think he's got like 250,000 followers or something. He could make a living just working his social media account.
He could be a social media influencer?
Yes.
Yuck.
Yeah, it's so gross.
By the way, speaking of COVID, how about Virginia Tech played NC State, right? They were the night game, NC State. Their starting quarterback, Kendon Hooker, they announced right before the game that he's out because of COVID. I don't know if he had it or if he was just exposed to it. Anyway, 23 players, not all COVID related, but 23 players and four coaches for Virginia Tech had to sit out the game, and they still pummeled NC State. They were down to their third quarterback because their backup got hurt, and then they went to this kid Patterson, and they still pummeled NC State. But 23 players plus four coaches.
I mean, not as many, but a bunch of K-State players missed the game at Oklahoma, and they went to Oklahoma and beat the number three team in the country.
Right. Back-to-back years they've beaten them.
It's crazy.
Yeah, there were some upsets this past weekend.
But it's a different year, man. Like I said, it's going to be crazy, and you're going to see it in the NFL. It's going to be crazy in college football. It's just one of those years. You're going to see a lot of shenanigans.
Did Navy play this past week?
Navy played.
Are they 2-1 since they got smoked or no?
No, I don't think they played this week. They played two.
They
played
Tulane
2 weeks
ago.
2 weeks ago.
So yeah.
They're playing Air Force. They're playing Air Force this week.
Yeah.
Because they were down big. They were down 27-0 or 24-0 to Tulane, and came back and won.
Right.
All right. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL with the Junkies. Blitz will release week 3 of the JPPP. Keep it here on the Fan. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Mike Jones will join us, columnist for USA Today, as we talk some NFL. Pro Football Focus Tuesday, Sam Monson from PFF joins us at 9. Right now, as we do every morning at this time, we do go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. Everybody was watching Monday Night Football last night, and the Chiefs end up the big winner, beat the Ravens 34-20. Patrick Mahomes finds the end zone 5 times, 4 touchdown passes, throws for 385 yards, also scrambled for that 5th touchdown. The Chiefs rolled up over 500 yards of offense against the Ravens, who just couldn't match it. Lamar Jackson wasn't sharp, had his least productive passing day of his career, throwing for just 97 yards and a score. Did run for 83 yards, but just wasn't enough as the Ravens lose at home to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are just a thorn in the Ravens' side. They couldn't find a way to get any sort of pass rush in on Mahomes. I mean, he was just carving up that secondary, had all day to find his targets, and he spread the ball around. I mean, he got it to Mecole Hardman. He got it to Tyreek Hill. He had the wackadoo touchdown pass, the underhand shovel pass to the fullback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were going deep in the bag of tricks last night.
I wonder if we're seeing the making of a dynasty here.
Sure looks like it.
I don't think there's anybody in the AFC that can touch him. I mean, we've already seen Baltimore. They lost to him two times in a row in huge games. But, you know, I don't see anybody else that can really touch him. So who knows about Super Bowls. But we may be looking at a dynasty, a team that could win, you know, 3 out of the next 4, 3 out of the next 5.
Still early, because I think certain teams match up better against them than obviously the Ravens. Look, John Harbaugh after the game said, they beat us, they had executed us, they out-game-planned us, they just beat us. That's story tonight, big picture stuff, all that, I don't know. They're better, obviously. They're a better football team at this point in time. So that's what the head coach of the Ravens said. Mm-hmm. But just a week before, the Chargers had him on the ropes. And whatever the Chargers did, I just saw highlights in that game. I watched Red Zone for that game. You know, Justin Herbert played well against them. But that defense held them to 20 in regulation. Think about that.
Well,
the
could
Chiefs
have been a
were
couple
held
things.
To 20 points.
I mean, I'm not saying they're going to go undefeated every year.
Right.
But, you know, they've got Bosa. They've got two pretty good backs. They controlled the clock. And maybe they were looking ahead a little bit.
The Here's next three should be some might be a little bit of a test for the Chiefs. They're home to the Pats and the Raiders before facing the Bills in Buffalo in mid-October. That's a big one. But then after that, it is Cupcake City for the Chiefs. They get the Broncos, the Jets, and the Panthers.
And the Patriots, could be a good matchup because the Patriots run the ball really effectively, the ball out of the hands of Patrick Mahomes, and Bill Belichick is a mastermind defensively, so I think that's going to be a tough matchup for him.
We'll see. And here's the other thing about that Charger game with Kansas City. Remember, Tyrod was kind of a late scratch for that game.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they weren't, you know, they weren't prepared for Herbert.
I know, but why didn't they score more? My question is, how did San Diego shut down the KC offense that rolled up over 500 yards against the Ravens?
I don't know, but remember we had the guy on that picked the winner. Was it? Mm-hmm. I don't know
Stuckey?
Who it was. And he said that they did the same thing the year before.
Right. They match up
well. They know how to play well against them. Yeah.
Yep.
I just want to know how Valdez felt watching that game last night. Did you try to convince yourself and stay positive, or did you get negative right away?
Well, you could tell it was going downhill pretty quickly. I kind of wish we had a pontoon Ron so I could go to bed early.
Yeah. Just wave the white flag.
Yeah. Wave the white flag. because I'm already on four cups of coffee.
Right.
But
were you bitter?
I was more upset because I know that the lazy takes would come out about how Lamar sucks. And so I just have to get through that hurricane.
Right. Just make your way through
you
that
take,
storm.
You take any criticism of Lamar personally?
No, I think it's kind of the take du jour after that kind of performance. But you know, just weather the storm, and then someone else will suck next week. And then
everybody's allowed to have a bad game. He had a bad game.
He had an awful game. Trust me, I'm not defending his game.
No, but it's fine.
It was very deflating because the Ravens, like I said this earlier, they seemed to kind of rise to the occasion, and you know, but it just the whole team didn't seem very prepared.
Well, Lamar said it simply: the Chiefs are their kryptonite right now.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if that's a different outcome. Now, probably not. But if the Ravens had fans there.
I thought about that too, but you can't make that excuse.
No, I'm not. I'm just wondering if that could have been a much closer game. Maybe, I think it probably would have.
Maybe. Trust me, the Chiefs put the beat down on the Ravens, but the Ravens just they shot themselves in the foot a lot, especially with penalties early on. That tripping call that they had on Boyle.
Garbage call.
Well, it put them at first and 20, and it completely took the wind out of their sails on their second drive.
Well, it wrecked Harbaugh. He was none too pleased at that.
And then Jason,
I don't blame him.
And then I also don't understand is you have this philosophy when you go to Arrowhead where they went for 3 2-point conversions and went for it on fourth down 3 times, and then you have a fourth and short and you decide you elect to take the field goal. It's just a complete 180 in your coaching philosophy from year to year.
If you have fourth and shorts against the Chiefs, I think you got to go for it.
Especially with Lamar.
There's literally no reason for every team not to have minimum 10,000 fans. They're showing all across the country how they're spreading people out. If you're still worried about it, you could spread them out.
But besides Lamar's awful game, I mean, the team has a lot of holes to fix, including the interior of their offensive line, defensive line, I mean, just zero pass rush. Especially when the Chiefs had a backup guard in. But
you're still licking your chops for this week, aren't you?
I'm pretty sure they'll bounce back.
Yeah, but you especially might worry about the pass rush a little bit if the offensive
you don't sound
line
as
the Ravens
confident,
is suspect.
Though.
Well, you know what? If Lamar gets forced from the pocket and bounces, it's curtains for the team.
That's bad, too, because I remember what Kyler Murray did last week, and it wasn't good.
All right, let's get to the JPPP. We're releasing it every Tuesday. Jason, who do I have at number 5 this week in the JP PowerPoint?
I think this is going to be close because now
you've got... It's very close.
All right, I think the Buffalo Bills are your fifth best team.
They are in at number 5. I bounced out the Steelers this week because when you look at the Steelers, they're undefeated, but they haven't played a team with a win yet. Yeah. They've beaten the Giants, the Broncos, and the Texans. The Bills just had an impressive come-from-behind win against the Rams. Now, before that, the Bills beat up on the Jets and the Dolphins, so it's not like they're beating a bunch of world beaters, but the Rams game was impressive. Josh Allen, 10 touchdowns on the year with just one pick. He's also run in a couple. He's in the MVP discussion. So I have the Bills at number 5. Who's my 4?
By the way, that would have been the third greatest comeback in NFL history if the Bills didn't get hooked on that 4th-and-9 pass interference.
Yeah. Right, if the Rams held on.
Yeah. I'm sorry, your 4th?
Number 4.
I'm going to say it's the Packers.
It is the Drab Hawks. Didn't have them in last week. But I started looking at who these teams have played. So not only did I bounce out the Steelers, I bounced out the Titans, who were undefeated. They've beaten the Browns, the Jags, and the Vikings, combined 1-8 by a total of 6 points. So the Titans seem to be fraudulent. The Seahawks have beaten the Cowboys, the Patriots, the Falcons. Now, the Patriots game could have gone the other way, and the Cowboys, you know, made it interesting as well. But Russell Wilson, the MVP of the league right now, they're plus 25 point differential. Defense worries me. I wonder if Drab is worried about it. They're giving up 86 points on the season already. So I've got them at number 4.
All right. Well, I think that makes 1, 2, and 3 pretty easy. I'm going to say Packers are 3, Ravens 2, Chiefs 1.
Correct. Packers.
He still got the Ravens 2. after that beat down.
I mean,
there's no shame in losing to the best team on the planet.
Yeah.
Okay, the best football team on the planet was in Baltimore last night, and they weren't wearing purple.
Yeah, I think all of us, I don't know if all of us had the exact same AFC championship game, but I'll say most of us had a championship game between the Chiefs and the Ravens. That's what
I think I picked the Ravens.
Right.
Can I have that pick back?
Yeah, I think I did too.
Can I pivot?
There's no reason to bounce them out after just one game. And
no.
The Ravens are likely to go 13-3 this year. The Chiefs just have their number right now. And the Packers, like I said, I think they're right now the class of the NFC. You look at point differential, they've outscored teams by 37. Aaron Rodgers had kind of a chip on his shoulder based on the offseason, kind of teams, analysts sleeping on them. Meanwhile, they were in the NFC Championship game a year ago. He's got 9 touchdowns, zippy picks. He's playing well. Aaron Jones has emerged there. So I've got them 3, Ravens 2, Chiefs 1.
There you go.
All right.
I hit 4 out of 5.
All right, coming up next, Mike Jones from the USA Today joins us as we get his take on Week 3 in the NFL here on the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.